Glory to God forever and ever. Jesus Christ is alive. Amen. Amen. Wonderful Jesus, reveal yourself to us. Father, Jesus, Holy Spirit, we are in awe of you and we're eternally grateful for everything. Holy Spirit, we welcome you and acknowledge that you are God. The glory of the Lord is available to every person. The Lord God Almighty is available. He's even knocking on the door of every person's heart. Glory to God. He is the only true God. The most exclusive person is the most available. In fact, he's available. He's everywhere on the earth. He's available all the time for our entire life and for eternity. How do we get him? How do we know him? How do we... Well, it's very simple. It's Jesus in the power of the Holy Spirit. Just go straight to the only true God. And his name is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It's a glorious eternal revelation. And something simple, I'm being very... this is a revelation, what I'm about to say. When we talk about Jesus Christ, he's the fullness of God Almighty. He is God Almighty. He's the Son of God and God. So we could interchange the three members of the Trinity. You know, the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of the Father and of Jesus Christ. Jesus is the Son of God, but also the fullness of God. A famous scripture, the fullness of the Godhead in bodily form. Amen. Now, let me say this, though. Jesus did emphasize that his Father, he said, my Father is greater than I and greater than all. So now that's a whole nother revelation. But a key is, I want to say this, though, just like I said yesterday, I believe I said it yesterday. For unbelievers, their greatest need is Jesus. For believers, our greatest need is Jesus in the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The chief end of man is to know him, the only true God, and man was born to fellowship with him. Fellowship. Someone may say, well, wait, where is that in the Bible? I mean, if that's what we were born to do, where is that? Okay. Specifically, in Jesus, in Revelation 3:20, I believe is the verse. It's yes, Revelation 3:20. In that famous scripture, Jesus says, let me just... read it. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. To him who opens the door, I will come into him and sup, dine with him and he with me. He's referring, I believe, to fellowship with him. That he becomes our everything. He becomes our water, our food, our drink, everything. You know, we need water and food to serve that. You know, that's how we survive, right? He becomes our everything. And he talked about that in the book, especially the Gospel of John. You know, these wonderful revelations of how important it is that we have Jesus Christ. Just, that's why I say with unbelievers, their greatest need is just Jesus. They've got to get Jesus before they leave the earth. I do want it, this message, I believe I want it to be the short message, an evangelistic message to anyone who will listen. the bottom line is, to make it to heaven, someone has to be in the book of life. Revelation, the book of Revelation, very clear about that. And twice, at least, in the book of Revelation, it talks about those who are allowed into heaven are only those who are in the book of life. Anyone who, it says, it's a serious scripture. This is Revelation 20:15, and it's in the portion of scripture that some people call the most awesome portion of the Bible. This is the title of it in this particular version is the Great White Throne Judgment. Revelation 20:15, and anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. How do we get in the book of life? Through Jesus Christ, knowing him. If someone never hears the gospel, it's just going straight to the only true God, having a relationship with him, which is easy and simple and very apparent, that someone should do that. But also it is our works as well. It's both and. It's not just believing in the Lord Jesus. Again, the bottom line is someone must have a sincere relationship with him, with the only true God, and serve him and do their best to walk with him. This is so serious. You know, eternity. Someone's eternity is at stake. And heaven, so glorious, filled with the glorious splendor of God's majesty. The presence of God, the presence of Jesus, the Holy Spirit literally fills heaven and actually is on the entire earth. Amen. And so really you could even say that his glory is everywhere in the universe. I'm not fully clear about the second heaven. There's three heavens. But it's pretty safe to say his glory is everywhere in the universe now, since Jesus died and rose from the dead. Before that, for 4,000 years, the Holy Spirit would come upon people and you know, God revealed himself in two specific people and to the Israelites and visited them at times, and actually the cloud and the fire, that's the Holy Spirit, was with them. But the Holy Spirit was not readily available to all people until Jesus came. Amen. That's the central, you know, that's a whole nother teaching, but I just wanted to make that clear that now, for the last 2,000 years, his glory is everywhere on the earth, and so it's simple and easy and wonderful and so awesome. Anyone who makes it to heaven is automatically in his glory forever. Amen. Because God is so loving and merciful, they make it to heaven. They're in the same glory that Jesus and the Father that proceed from them. And the same glory that the patriarchs of the faith, you know, the greatest, you know, saints, so to speak, everyone's in the same presence of God. Amen. Isn't that amazing? Now, here's a fascinating truth. On the earth, and I've said this before, every person now who's alive on the earth is actually surrounded by and is in God's presence and glory. That's a powerful truth, because his presence and his power is everywhere on the earth. So if someone simply says yes to Jesus Christ, their spirit person instantly becomes alive. And they're now saved. And they can now, they're in the first of the four phases of knowing God. Okay, but on the other hand, right there in Revelation, it says the lake of fire. Hell, at the end times, will be thrown into the lake of fire. There's five places in the underworld. Five locations. Did you know that? Hell is one of them. Lake of fire is another one. I'm not, that's a whole nother teaching, but those who die have died so far, and who die up until hell is thrown into the lake of fire, they go into hell, and it's awful. It's horrible beyond our comprehension. Right now, it's horrible. And the whole, if you want to know what hell is like, it's all, just go right to YouTube. There's all kinds of videos about it, people who have been there. Look up, Mary Baxter has videos on YouTube, and her book is readily available. Jesus revealed to her hell in more detail than he's ever revealed it. And it's, people in hell right now are suffering. The suffering is so bad, it's beyond what we can imagine. It's incredibly hot enough to kill someone. The lake of fire, every 5 minutes or so, or 10 minutes, comes through hell and burns them and burns their flesh off of their body. They have worms and maggots crawling in their body that they feel, and the fire does not affect the worms and maggots. There's no light. There's barely any air. They're gasping for every breath. There's, it's, you know, no food, no water, no, okay, it just gets worse and worse. They have all their senses in hell. In heaven, people have all their senses gloriously. We're liberated from our human body, and in heaven, our 5 senses is just a feast and a celebration. The greatest celebration is his glory, the presence of God. Within that, though, I just want to give an example. Our senses, people having their sense of sight in heaven, they see all the beautiful, wonderful things. Their sense of hearing, they hear glorious worship from people, but also even the flowers and trees and animals are worshiping God. Amen. The smells, these wonderful smells and the fragrances and the flowers and all that, there's natural beauty in heaven. But that's just a byproduct of his presence and glory. You understand, the greatest thing is just the presence of Jesus, which is available on the earth. He's available on the earth. That same presence, that's the treasure that Jesus spoke about. Hidden in a field. That's the treasure. That presence, which is worth more than everything in the world, multiplied times infinity, was only in the Ark of the Covenant. Remember that if you know about the Old Testament, in the temple, and there's 3 locations in the tabernacle and in the temple, and in that third Holy of Holies, the Ark of the Covenant, that's where the glory of God was. Only in that Holy of Holies, it was in that, this that's the holy presence of God. We don't have to worry about a thing. Because, you know, if God's with us, Jesus Christ, we have the victory. We can rest in Him, God Almighty. What I was just thinking of, you know, it's very serious. You know, the priest could only go into that Holy of Holies once a year, and it, you know, it's just really serious. Now it's serious today also. That's why I'm giving, you know, everything about our most holy faith is everything to us. It's wonderful, it's glorious, but it's also very serious. And an example is this choice that humans have. There's serious consequences for anyone who says no to the only true God, who says no to Jesus. It's very serious. It's very serious for believers. if we don't answer the call, if we don't, those who are called into ministry specifically, there's even, I don't want to overstate this, but Jesus revealed that. It's in the Gospels. He spoke about those who knew God's will and didn't do it. There's greater punishment for them. Okay. So heaven, you know, senses in heaven, that sense of touch, you know, just this wonderful, we have our bodies in heaven. That's a revelation I just received from actually a Spurgeon message. Our bodies are eternal. Our souls are eternal. We have a body, a spiritual body, you might call it, in heaven. We will look like we do on the earth, perfectly glorified. We will be 30, they say that we'll be 33 years old for all eternity. In perfect health, glory to God. But we have, you understand, it's simple. We have a body in heaven, a head, body, arms, legs. We can touch, we can hear and see, and so the five senses, the tastes, that's the fifth. There's five senses, right? So we can touch. Oh, glory to God. I mean, in heaven is just so awesome. I mean, it's the city, it says, was pure gold, like crystal. The walls, you'll be able to, you know, touch people, and you'll be able to touch the natural beauty in heaven. We will live in houses. Jesus said we'll live in houses. You know, it's all very simple and very commonsensical, really. We will live in houses in heaven. Some Jesus said mansions, and we'll open the door and we'll go in and we won't ever have to sleep. Okay, and now the tastes. The taste, there's just glorious, the trees, it says right there in Revelation, the tree of life, which the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And people who have been to heaven say that there's this glorious fruit, copper-colored fruit that you eat, and it's just delicious, and it gives you strength, and it just, you eat it, it's so wonderful, and then you just, you don't even have to clean up after. I mean, so this Holy Spirit, Jesus, is available on the earth. That's what I've been emphasizing. But the serious side, you know, if we go, can you believe it's just tragic that in hell, it's horrible beyond comprehension. They have all their senses. Jesus told Mary Baxter, people's senses are even stronger in hell. Some people may think, oh, well, maybe in hell, it's a spiritual world, so maybe you don't feel the fire, or you don't feel the worms and maggots, or, you know, it's just, you have a spiritual, so it's not, that's figurative. Well, no, wait. Jesus said, our senses are much stronger. You think about getting burned on the earth, how awful it is if we burn just our hand or our finger or, you know, something like that. Their whole body is being burned. Now, here's what's so awful. Right now, they are being burned. As I said, the lake of fire comes through hell and burns their flesh off of their body. They're in eternal death. So they can never actually die. They want to die. They want to sleep. They can't do those things. They can't sleep. They can't do any. There's no escape. And what's worse is that hell will be thrown into the lake of fire. They will be in a lake of fire and burning brimstone. That's burning sulfur. It's like a liquid sulfur forever. So all five of their senses, their sense of sight, even though it's so dark, they can't see, really, they can't, they can tell, like demons come and torment people and keep them in their place where they are. their sense of smell. They say that, let's do hearing. Their sense of hearing, they hear the wailing of multitudes in hell. They hear people near them saying there's no hope, there's no way out. They can talk. Their sense of smell, they say the smell is so overpoweringly bad that even just the smell would kill someone. Their sense of touch, they feel the fire. Their sense of taste, it's burning the inside of their body. They remember their life on the earth. They remember people that they knew on the earth who might end up in hell. That's revealed in the parable of the rich man and Lazarus. They know that they're there for eternity, that they can never get out. Why am I saying all this? If someone has to proclaim this, I don't want any attention on myself. I did have a vision of hell some years ago. I don't care what anyone thinks, okay? But something that I've seen in my study of this topic is usually it's people, humans, because we're so foolish, we're like sheep. Let me put it this way. Those who are actually speaking about hell in this way, often they actually had some experience where they either had a vision of hell or maybe they went there, like Mary Baxter. I did write a book called Hell, 13 Testimonies from a Real Place. There's 13 specific testimonies of people who have seen hell or had a vision, or, you know, some of them are famous people, at least one of them, Kenneth Hagin. Okay, but you know, Bill Weiss, Mary Baxter, there's other people that are not, okay, and by the way, in that book, I did not mention my experience, but, so, if someone hasn't, you know, you follow me on that, some people, there are ministers who maybe don't proclaim hell, well, maybe it's because they just haven't, God hasn't revealed it to them, so anyway, everyone wonders, how could there be a place like this? Why is there a hell? Well, it was created, Jesus said, it's the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels, not for man. Man's made in God's image, and man has this choice. And that's the central choice, I think, for every person, the choice between God and self. And, you know, let's be honest. This is probably one of the biggest objections that unbelievers have, is the whole issue of hell. I mean, that's just something they refuse. I mean, they just cannot get past that. And I know it's a challenging, very challenging subject, but we just go by the Bible. We go by what Jesus said. Jesus spoke about hell often, more than he spoke about heaven. He spoke about it 11 times at least, specifically describing it. Revelation, we've just seen that Revelation clearly reveals it. It's in other places. There's more than 100 scriptures in the Bible about hell. Let's just go to the Bible. Okay, someone may say, well, these people had these experiences. Okay, let's just forget those experiences. Let's just go to the Bible. Let's not use human reasoning and try to rationalize and moralize, you know, and that's what, so anyway, unbelievers do come up with objections, and the real cause of that is self-will. As long as someone is in self-will, Reinhard Bonnke spoke about this specifically, he spoke that self-will, he said, is the ultimate sin. But I just want to expound on that and say, if someone's in self-will, they're going to have objections. You know, such as, how can there be so much suffering in the world? another objection people have. They say, well, if God is love, why doesn't everyone get saved? And if he's all powerful, why doesn't everyone get saved? And it's because God made man into his own image and likeness. Man has complete free will. God wants everyone, Jesus wants everyone to make it to heaven. He doesn't want anyone to end up in hell. But he made man. That's the central truth. In fact, even in Genesis 6, it says the Lord was sorry he had made man. It's right there in the Bible. To think that, I mean, he doesn't want anyone to end up there. Jesus, let me finish with this. This is powerful. In Mary Baxter's book, A Divine Revelation of Hell, Jesus, numerous times, while speaking to people in hell, Jesus wept. He was weeping, and he knew everything about them. He knew why they were in hell. He knew, and those people spoke to Jesus, and they pleaded for mercy and said, please get me out of here. I've been here so long. I've suffered. I'll repent now. And Jesus said, it's too late. Judgment is set. It's too late. Jesus told Mary Baxter, specifically said, many people think they have unlimited time to accept God's grace. He told her, sad to say, most people will not repent before it's too late. So, I know these are harsh things. I have not given a message like this in a while, and it's very difficult. The main thing I want to emphasize is those who say yes to Jesus and say yes to the only true God, it's a glorious celebration. In every way. So wonderful for all eternity and on the earth if we just walk with him. And what a privilege. What a glorious privilege. He's made it easy and simple and exciting and fun. He's offered happiness and love, joy, peace, faith, hope, goodness, mercy. He offers everything that we desire and dream of. It is hard living on the earth. We know that. Maybe it's difficult to bring us to him. You know, maybe it's... There are scriptures that talk specifically, you know, consider it joy when you face trials of many kinds for the... People may object and say, well, wait, how can you say it's a celebration when you're talking about this, you know, these horrible consequences? I mean, this is our most holy faith. It's everything to us. It's everything. A central truth is because man is God's image and likeness, even the human being is really a glorious masterpiece of the Almighty God and a mystery, and you know, and the potential that we can be a child of God and live forever in heaven. Just that, just the fact that we can know him, the truth that we can fellowship with him. All of these are mysteries. You understand? These are mysteries. Jesus said, the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. Glory to God. Amen.